I think if I were to put it all into a couple words would be seek help, because I had to learn from my own failures because I never sought help. I also didn't know how. Like, it's okay to be vulnerable and ask for help, even if you don't think you need it. There's a lot of people out there that want to help you and they might just not know that you need help. So you just saying something is enough for many adults to just do a little extra for you and give you that advice you never thought you needed.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Path Found. This is the podcast where we unpack the winding, messy, and meaningful journeys that lead to the work we love and a life that feels right. I'm Monica Argandonian, and each week I'm going to sit down with someone whose path didn't follow a straight line, but it still led them to purpose and fulfillment and often surprising success. These are real conversations about mentorship, pivots, networking, self-doubt, mistakes that we all make, and what it means to find direction when the map runs out. These stories are here to inspire and guide you. We'll dig into the things school didn't teach, like how to navigate career twists, life lessons, and big transitions. If you like what you hear, please share the podcast with a friend, subscribe, and leave us a review. You can also find us on Instagram at PathFoundPodcast or online at KeystoneNetwork.org. There you can send in your comments, suggest guests or topics, or even apply to be a guest yourself. This podcast is for you, my students, my peers, and anyone figuring it out as they go. As a longtime teacher and anthropologist, I've always believed in the power of stories. They remind us we're not alone and that it's okay to change your mind, take a different route, or still be unsure of what comes next. This is my pivot too, and so I'm glad to have you on this journey with me. Now let's get started. Today on Path Found, I'm joined by Coach Christian, aquatics director at the Claremont Club, a fitness resort, and head coach for Claremont High School swim and water polo programs. His path wasn't a straight line into coaching, from serving in the Navy to working in federal probation, facing personal struggles, and ultimately finding renewal through resilience and reflection. Coach Christian's story is one of perseverance and growth. His journey shows that hitting reset can lead to unexpected purpose and a career that truly inspires. Christian, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and sharing your story with all of us. I always start by asking, what were you like in high school?
Extremely reserved, lots of problems at home during my childhood, at my mom's and my dad's. I always just kept to myself, didn't have many friends or anything, just kind of went to school and then had to go home immediately after.
And then when you graduated, what did you do?
So my dad's house was more strict, my mom's was more laxed, and we stopped living at my dad's permanently my freshman year. So things got kind of chaotic after that over the next few years. And I personally myself just needed to escape and go start my life on my own. So that's why I enlisted in the military.
Okay. Which branch?
So I was in the Navy for 4 years.
What did you think?
It wasn't always pleasant to say the least, but I learned and grew a lot during that journey. And it helped me mature very quickly in an environment I don't think that college immediately would have helped me in. So I'm grateful for it, but it wasn't pleasant.
But you learned a lot and you decide not to make it a career. You get out of the military, then what?
Yeah, so I think I got the most I could out of it there's a lot of things I could say, but I'm fortunate that I was able to get through the 4 years, I'll put it that way, because a lot of my friends didn't make it that far and some are not with us today because of the mental strains it puts on you and stuff. But I made it through the 4 years. And I had my sights set on going back to college and finishing it afterwards. So that's what I did. I was in College of Sequoias for 1 year before the military to try it out and swim on their team there. And I was too burnt out and too much childhood trauma. So that's why I left early, but went back and finished afterwards.
What was your major?
Back then it was civil engineering. And then after college, I tried to get back into computer science and all of the math stuff had left my brain over the 4 years. You really got to upkeep that stuff or it goes away. So I had to make a decision. And since I had been working in military police for part of the military, I did get a passion for that. So I went back to a community college in San Diego to finish my associate's degree in criminal justice.
Okay.
So that's where that started.
Now on the track to be a police officer.
Yeah. So I ended up starting to love schooling again, in that major at least. So I got my sights set on San Diego State, which was always a dream as well, but I thought I would never be able to achieve it growing up. So now I saw myself at San Diego State majoring in criminal justice, and I loved it so much I tacked on sociology as a second major because of a couple introductory social classes I had at San Diego State. So added it as another major, and that was basically an extra year tacked on there, but it was all funded through the GI Bill, so I had no problem staying longer and doing that. And then I graduated with both of those degrees from San Diego State, basically.
So I think a lot of young people think there's a timeline we're on, right? You have to graduate by 22 and then be in your career at a certain age and then get married and whatever else. How old are you by this time?
So going back to college, I was 23, I believe. So it was very weird going back, to say the least, especially in San Diego where it's a lot of young people. But I just tried to make the most of it. And they were kind of, it's hard to explain, but if you think about it, they're all coming out of probably a lot of good households going straight into college for the most part, not everybody, but I was coming out of a bad sheltered household, going to the military for 4 years and then college. So I think coming out of that sheltered world, I think I was on the same track mindset wise as a lot of these kids were. It just took me 4 more years than them to get there, which I got there through the military. So I think I was able to actually relate to a lot of these kids, even though I was 4 years ahead of them, professional wise, if you will. So it had its pros and cons, but one of my good childhood friends, or not mine per se, but my younger siblings, he was also going to San Diego State at the same time. And he reached out and he was like, hey, come check out this fraternity that I'm in. Don't like think about all the things people say, just come out and try it out and see what happens. So I did. And it was not like the typical ones you hear about. It was more just a group of random guys in different journeys of life, all in the same group together. It's the best way to put it. And yeah, there was some of the partying and stuff you hear about, but not anywhere near the levels of the big names you hear. This was more just a way to put random people together that didn't really all know their journeys yet. So I did fit in well there because there was other older guys that came from different places. Maybe they just took a break from school, or other ones from the military, or young guys that had no clue what they wanted to do in their life yet. So yeah, it was a good environment, I think, and we all fit in.
Are you still friends with those guys?
Some of them, yes. A few of them will be at my wedding in a month, so that's exciting. And just happens they were the older ones with me there. So
but I think it's really important to have that support group, right? People who are going through similar things and experiencing what you're experiencing. So you graduate, and then what?
Yeah, so I graduated. I had my sights fully set on getting into the feds in whichever 3-letter agency, if you will, would accept me. I made some mistakes in my past, nothing like too crazy, but word of advice for anyone younger out there, just even if you think it'll never bite you in the butt later, it probably will. So especially if you're trying to get into any law enforcement later, or even if you don't think you will, you might want to later. So it's always best to just think about what you're doing before you do it. But I interviewed extensively with FBI, Secret Service, many local law enforcement agencies, you name it. And I went all the way to the near end with most of them. FBI was extremely close to the end, but little hiccup on the polygraph, so didn't get in there. But I got in through an internship first for the federal probation office in San Diego, which was really exciting. And I was there for 2.5 years, something like that. And it was really cool being in a federal job because that's what I always dreamed of. It's a lot more office work than you think it is initially. But it was very eye-opening. I was spending several hours every day in prisons and face-to-face with all these guys and gals that life also didn't take them down the path they probably wanted. But it matured me even more than ever before. This was a big boy job for sure, and dressing in a suit every day. And I played it out and I tried it for a couple years. But yeah, it wasn't what I imagined it would be to do like the rest of my life. It was a great chapter, I would say, in my life, but not the final story.
So I think a lot of people get in a job and think, this is it, right? Now I have to do this. Partly people are afraid, well, what else do I do? Or I'm 30 something and now I'm going to do a different path. And, you know, what led you? Was it, did you just hated the job that much? Or did you already have some ideas? And I mean, what kind of drove you to say this was enough, moving on?
So, I mean, with that job in particular, I had several different jobs and a lot of years of experience before that with like bartending, serving, security jobs all over San Diego. That kind of all opened me up out of that really sheltered shell that I talked about. I mean, there was pros and cons. Like, I was so sheltered. I didn't really drink alcohol, for instance, until that bartending job. And even there, not even until a couple years into it. But yeah, my eyes were opened way later than most kids that'll be listening to this. So it all kind of hit me at once and it got the best of me at times, which I've had to fight my way back from a few times throughout my life. But we're here now, and I'm at a great point in my life now, but it's because of all those trials and tribulations I had, mistakes I had to make and climb my way out of myself, because I didn't really have the family support a lot of people have. So it was a huge self journey and trial by error kind of thing. But yeah, leading up to that federal job, I loved the professional job that it was, but I didn't have any satisfaction day to day and like go in there, I love my job kind of feeling. So I needed to hit reset in my life. And there was stuff I was struggling with outside of the 8 to 4, 9 to 5, whatever it was. So it never affected my day-to-day job, but it definitely affected my personal life outside of it. And I was lost, to say the least. I was extremely lost and I just really needed to hit reset. So it took me making more mistakes and stuff, but I got to the point where I said, this is enough. And I moved home, which was very humbling to me because I never had a good home. So I basically had no other choice at this point. And because knowing like what I went through in my childhood, I would never volunteer to move back home, but this is the position I was in at the time. So I had to call my mom and cried it out over many hours and told her where I was at. And I need to move home temporarily to figure out my life and hit reset. So that's kind of what I did after that.
Did you have other people helping you? A mentor? And that's hard to do on your own, to realize, one, I have to hit reset and then take those steps to do it, especially if it meant going back home.
Yeah, I would say at the time, I did not really have any help besides my mom opening her doors for me. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened. But I would urge anybody out there, definitely seek help even before things are a problem. I waited till it was too late and I had to go on like the whole journey of therapy several years to find myself again and talking to people, all kinds of stuff. But at the time, I didn't really have any guidance or help. I had to hit rock bottom. And that's just my personality is like, I don't accept when I'm failing. So I had to fail in order to see like, I'm really messed up right now and lost and I do need help. So that's what it took for me. But I think a lot of people out there, they need to seek help, like even before things are a problem.
Was all of that like a culmination of your childhood and no direction? I mean, rock bottom that's low. You're lucky if you come out of that. So was it just all of it together? Was it something that triggered it?
Yeah, talking about it many years through treatment now, and help from people now at this point in my life, I definitely neglected getting any help from anybody, mostly like on the therapy route, because I had tried it a couple times, but I never had a connection with a therapist. And I had several that were just there for the money and you can read it on their face, or they were just spitting prompts at you and they weren't truly trying to connect to you as a person. And I can't say his name, but I've been talking to a psychologist for the last few years, and he's honestly changed my life. And it's because of the connection I made with him, and he truly cares about his job and stuff. So I still kind of meet up with him every 6 months to go over how life's been going. But like, I'm not at a point where I need to see him weekly anymore or anything like that. But I would just say back then I wouldn't say too arrogant to seek help, but I think it lost is the better word. I was just lost and I didn't know and I wasn't informed. And I kind of thought like, oh, I've got it all figured out because I'm out of my parents' house now, so I can figure it all out on my own. But that was probably the worst thing I could do, which led to bad things later on.
And I think it's even harder for young men, the pressure to, you can't ask for help, or you're supposed to just have it all together and be strong, whatever that means. And so I think it has been a detriment to young men and continues to be. So the fact that you can talk about it, that could help a lot of people.
Yeah, and the military too kind of made that even worse, to be honest, because they have the mentality of just put your head down and do your job. Stop talking about it. Stop whining. Stop caring. All that stuff. So it's just do, and it's never take care of yourself and how are you doing mentally or any of that stuff. So they literally engrave it in you not to ask for help. So yeah, it was a long journey afterwards.
So you get to the point where you're ready to do reset. Therapy is part of that. What else?
Yeah, therapy was part of that. I failed in the categories of financial very much so. I never had guidance on like bank accounts, how to budget, how to use a credit card properly, any of that stuff. I went down a pretty bad alcoholic path that started when I was bartending because I was never open to it before. I never really knew what it was or the dangers of it or anything or how to control it. So it just all hit me in the face all of a sudden and then just got kind of out of control for a while. So those two things together were not a good combo when I was living in San Diego after the military. And I got into severe debt that I'm almost debt free now, nearly 10 years later, but it was very severe debt and went to collections, many things. My car almost got repossessed, all kinds of stuff. So I've been fighting my way out since, but I think it's because I had no guidance or direction or anything. And I just tried to do it all on my own.
People don't talk about finances. You don't learn that in college unless you take a specific class. My parents never taught me that I should have been putting away in a retirement, So consequently, I didn't start saving for retirement until I was 40. And that's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And so unless we talk about it and bring it out there, you don't know what to ask if you don't know. Yeah. Right. So, well, congratulations, because getting out of debt is very, very difficult. Yeah. I've had to do that also. Bad choices. All right. So you're living at home. You recognize all this is happening. What gets you out of it? Then what?
So at this point, I still didn't recognize. All I had done at this point was accept defeat, basically, and notice that I have to restart. But I think I was still not able to address the past and stuff. So I put my head down and I start grinding and I work really hard. Like I'm able to do pretty easily. So I had no job or anything. My mom lives out in an area where there's not access to a whole lot. So I go to Instacart, which I had done in the past a little bit, and I just grind it. And I'm having to work day to day, like yesterday, just to afford my gas tank for the next day's work kind of thing, and barely making the day to day work and enough for a food and a gas tank, basically, for a good at least 6 to 8 months. That was my every day, 7 days a week. And thankfully, like, my mom let me stay there rent free for a while until I got money under my belt. So yeah, that was going on. And I did kind of want to backtrack. I think one of the biggest failures in my life was accepting a vape pen for the first time from somebody in college. And I was so confident that I would never get addicted. And like, I was the most confident person on the planet that it would not affect me. And it was a one-time thing and yada, yada, you name it. And I guarantee there's a million people out there thinking the same thing. And they're probably addicted a year later, 2 years later, whatever it is. So my problem was accepting it the first time. And the problem really before even that was alcohol, because that lowers your natural like guards, if you will. So starting to drink a lot was the first problem. And that lowered my guard to be more willing to start vaping. So it was just kind of a spiral effect. And I thank God every day I didn't get into any hard drugs at all, never once, but I very easily could have. What's the ADHD medicine?
Adderall.
Yeah. So I actually, that is the worst I've tried. And it was at my lowest point I was talking about right before I had to accept defeat. I did get to Adderall a couple times and it put me in a mind space that nobody should be in, to say the least. And I did want to end it all, and it was not easy not to, but I found a way, and I've always been close to God. So I had to separate myself from everyone and try to find my way back to God, and he got me through it. But yeah, I thank him every day that I only tried Adderall a couple times and that I accepted defeat right after that, so it didn't get worse. But the vaping did get pretty severe. And it started with one time saying this will never be a problem for me because I don't get addicted to things. And I was so arrogant in my head about that. And one time turned into two and three and four. And then soon enough, I was addicted to it. And then soon enough, I was reasoning with my own mind saying, oh yeah, it's not even unhealthy. It's totally fine. And I love doing it. Like, what's even wrong with doing it at this point? To where I was then like literally budgeting vape costs into my paychecks and stuff. So I was spending hundreds of dollars every single week on vapes for a few years in San Diego. And I got to such a severe point. If I didn't have one in my hand, either in my pocket or in my hand out of my pocket, I would start freaking out and have to go buy one or borrow someone's or something. And it had full control over me at that point. So now fast forward to my mom's house where we were talking about resetting. I hadn't quit yet on the vape side of things. I did know that all the influences in San Diego were not healthy for me anymore. So that was the big reason for having to move home immediately. But next step was trying to quit vaping, which I knew I needed to do. One, because I could not afford it and I was making no money because all my Instacart money would go to vape, gas tank, and food, and day to day, zero money for the next day. So long story short, I tried the Nicorette gum and I knew the only way, because my mind is pretty strong, and the only way I would be able to quit was to trick my mind into quitting. So I started having regular cinnamon gum every day. And then I also bought the Nicorette, like the higher dosage, because it has like a little bit of...
It has that nicotine
yeah, in it. Yeah. So I tried that out and I got my body accustomed to the flavor of cinnamon, because I was addicted to flavors of vape. So
yeah, those companies know what they're doing.
They do. They're very smart, and it's only getting worse, unfortunately. But I tried Nicorette and I did that for a good amount of time. And then I went to the lower dosage and I had to stay very strong, but I kept to it and eventually weaned all the way off to regular cinnamon gum with no nicotine in it. And it worked. And I'm surprised that it worked to this day. But I will say I wasn't fully successful in quitting until probably 2021. So just about 4 years now down the road, I've been fully sober from vaping, and it was not easy. But I would say I still had cravings 2 years into quitting. So wow. It has effects for a long time after. And now I can say I have no cravings ever anymore. Even if I have some alcohol sometimes, it doesn't affect me anymore, thank goodness. But I do have to be careful careful still because your guard is down when you have alcohol either way. So
right, your inhibitions. Yeah. So again, congrats.
Thank you.
And I've heard that from so many people, but I'm not addicted, or it's just one.
Yep.
Yeah. So how did you end up coaching and swimming? And
yeah, that's kind of the next part. So Instacart got me day to day, and I had to really grind. I'm talking 12 to 16 hours every single day for 6 to 8 months. When I stopped vaping, that added some extra money in there that I wasn't spending on that anymore. So started getting a little bit of income in there. At this point, I had to just completely ignore all my debt because I was just trying to survive. So debt was beyond control. I was in collections with a lot of stuff, and it was not a good situation. But I had to look forward and just know that I would address all that later when I was able to. So looking forward, I started getting creative and just applied to a bunch of things with skill sets from my past. So I started just reaching out. I had coached throughout high school for 4 years. So I applied to several coaching opportunities all around the whole Inland Empire area, even a little bit further out. Wasn't really getting any good interest. I think I was reaching out to a bunch of security places to tap on that experience too, but nothing really hitting. And I was reaching far and thin. I was looking at like manufacturing plants just to get some entry level stuff. I was trying everything just so I didn't have to do Instacart anymore and have a normal job. And really nothing was hitting. And then I think it was a good 6 months after applying, I got a random email back from the Claremont Club saying they have an opening as a regular swim coach on the team. So I immediately hopped on that train and interviewed. And then they ended up in the interviews saying they were actually hiring based on my resume and experiences throughout life. They were wanting to hire me to be the head coach's replacement once I would be trained up enough for that and stuff. So yeah, I started as a regular swim coach and just shadowed for a while. And that's, yeah, it kind of progressed for, I think, 3 to 5 months, something like that. And then the transition to head coach started after that. And there was a lot of politics involved, to say the least, because predecessors had been there for the last 40 years. So needless to say, it happened. And I thought that I wasn't making enough money. I was making enough to live, but not to tackle debt, which you almost need like two incomes for. So I started looking around at different high schools as well. And I applied to a few private ones and Claremont High and a few other public ones. And then a couple of them interviewed me and I ended up choosing Claremont High. And it was very hard at first. But as with anything, once you get your systems into place and get some repetition and consistency and good assistant coaches under you, then it becomes a lot easier. So it was very hard for a couple years up front and getting everything, all the chaos sorted. But yeah, that's kind of how it started.
So it's interesting that all those past skills, even though they weren't the right moves and the right jobs, they all kind of built on each other and they hired you at the Claremont Club because you had those past skills for looking at you as a director position. So even though those things didn't work out, there was value in them.
Yeah.
And now you're coaching, you're the aquatics director. So you're definitely not just head coach anymore. You've moved your way up. And how do you feel about it all?
Yeah, I feel great. And just touching on what you just said a little bit, all the big jobs I did throughout my life, if you look at them surface level, completely unrelated to what I'm currently doing. However, like I said in the beginning, I was extremely reserved. Like I wouldn't talk to anybody. It was so shy. So I think the bartending job I had for opening me up and becoming somewhat social and at least an extroverted introvert now. And I think the federal job for making me extremely professional and working with big clients and stuff in that aspect. And then, like, I think the military experience for making me super organized and structured and always on a routine and regimen, which has helped with the head coaching side of stuff tremendously. So all of the different things, they all fed in one way or another. And even the sociology degree helped me understand people and how to make different groups of people work well together. other, which is a huge part of my job today. But yeah, that's kind of how it all fed into the now. And what was the question? Sorry. Just
how are you feeling about everything now and this job? And is it for a long term? Is it what's next?
Yeah. So I think it was 3 years into the Claremont Club, just on the swim team side of things at that point. And I think it was 1 year into head coaching. I kind of hit a pivotal moment in my life where I had to make a decision if I'm going to make this my career, or is this just a stepping stone for something else, or switch to a different path? Because if I get in too deep, then I might be wasting years I could be in the career that I am meant to do. And I spent a lot of time reflecting, and I truly did enjoy this at the time, very much so, as I still do today. And I chose to make it my career. And there's kind of two paths it could take. One is like the more admin side of things, like which is kind of the aquatics director role and managing a bunch of different systems, or the other route of head coaching and coaching in college and beyond and down that path. So my career is still very undetermined at this point, but I know it has to do with swimming, and because that's my passion, and the kids have very much been probably the biggest part of me loving this as a career. But yeah, it's undetermined, but I do love coaching and aquatics directing and all that stuff, and we'll see where life takes us. But yeah, my fiance is in the same kind of world, but on the water polo side. So the two jobs work really well together. And right now I have kind of like the head job for the house, but it might be her 5 years down the road. I'm getting a big opportunity in the water polo world. So who knows?
Nice. What would you say to anybody coming out of high school or college? What piece of advice would you give them that you wish someone had given you?
I think if I were to put it all into a couple words, would be seek help, because I had to learn from my own failures because I never sought help. I also didn't know how, but if you just like, it's okay to be vulnerable and ask for help, even if you don't think you need it. There's a lot of people out there that want to help you, and they might just not know that you need help. So you just saying something is enough for many adults to just do a little extra for you and give you that advice you never thought you needed. And yeah, aside from like seeking help, I think I say it all every day to all my athletes, and whether they take it in and actually use the advice or not, just be very mindful of every decision you're making in your childhood, because I promise it will affect your future in one way or another. Whether you believe me or not, I promise it probably will.
Right? Everything yeah. From what you post on social media,
yeah.
What you say, what you do. Is there something you would, if you could go back and say to your 18-year-old self, what would it be?
I would say like, stay true to yourself and don't lose sight of who you are as a person within.
And don't vape.
Yeah. Definitely don't vape. Don't even try it once.
You know, this has been a great conversation. And my daughter, who, you know, you have on the swim team, she admires you so much. She thinks you are tough, but fair. She loves going to practice. She likes how, you know, she wants to work and do well for you. And I think that says a lot about you as a person. You know, you talked about all these mistakes you made and hitting these low points, but I think you're not defined by your mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need to be defined by our mistakes. And you got out of that, and good for you. And now you have, you know, young people that really look up to you. And so you have a lot to give back and to offer.
Yeah. And that just hits on it again, that I think I was very lucky to come out of it all on the bright side of things, because there's many others that are not as fortunate. So definitely seek help before it's too late.
Well, thank you so much. It was great talking with you, and thank you for sharing all that. I know that was very personal, so I appreciate it, and I know somebody else out there is going to appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope so, and I hope I can help them in any way too. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
If any of today's conversations got you thinking about your own path, please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode with someone who might need to hear it. You can find more stories, resources, and ways to get involved at KeystoneNetwork.org, or follow us on Instagram at PathFoundPodcast. Whether you're navigating the unknown, making a pivot, or simply figuring it out one step at a time, just know you're not alone. The route may not be linear, but there's always a way forward. I'm Monica Argandonia, and I'll see you next week on PathFound.